Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 121 for the 26th of February, 2011. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Ah, fantastic.
Really? That's all?
Lies.
That's all I'm going to do?
Lies. It's all lies. I was just trying to be nice in the chat room, but all right.
Fair enough. So you're feeling a little bit under the weather.
I am feeling quite ill today, but we will struggle on because, as you said earlier in the morning, the show must go on.
Show must go on. Now, just for our live feed, if you get a little few jitters or something, we had some trouble connecting this morning, so I think Ustream might be playing up just a tad. So just bear with us. Hopefully we're getting all fine on this end, but hopefully we'll see how we go. And for our audio listeners, if you're wondering what we're talking about, we do go out live every Saturday. It is Saturday afternoon. It is currently about 10 past 12. We start typically around 12 o'clock mark, or as close to it as we can get. You can find that at geekactually.com/live. And you can come and join the chat room, and you'll hear us talk to the chat room. So if you hear us ever talking to some person who isn't answering back, it's probably because we're yelling at a screen. Okay, we will always try and identify the person in the chat room if we can, but sometimes we forget because they're like our friends.
Yeah.
We just kind of talk to them without even thinking sometimes. But we will endeavor to always try and let you know if we are talking to the chat room. Okay, this is the all-new Geek Actually show. This is kind of where we took our tech show and our after show and we melded them together into a kind of a glutinous mess I don't know. I'm making up words now. I don't know. Why did we do that? It was because there was a lot of tech shows already out.
Yeah, and it was there were a lot of tech, and also we would like some of our afternoon back.
That's true. There is that too. Yeah. Although that really hasn't worked because our shows have always ended up being an hour and a half long now, so you know that doesn't really matter. But yeah, no, it was kind of like a situation where we go, there's so many tech shows out there, so many, you know, really hard tech shows out there, and we just kind of like to have fun with it all. So we kind of went, well, tech isn't our priority. Put it that way. Yeah. And we do talk about tech, but we kind of take the lighter side of it.
We don't want to get too serious on it. There are far better podcast shows that can do that a lot better because they're funded and they have real people that are really, you know, important doing it, whereas we'd rather be funny.
Yeah, that's true. And this is why we go on to, after doing a little bit of tech, we always go on to our geek stories of the week, because we like to, quite frankly, have a look at our culture and the things that people get up to and the things that kind of interest us as geeks. And we sit there and go, really? That's what they're doing? Anyway, all right, so that's why we do it. All of our show notes, on the most part, there's a couple of additions this week, but on the most part come from one of our chat room listeners, who is our researcher, Delta Knight, also known
and
as
our
Dave
moderator.
Murray, and our moderator.
If you don't behave, he'll kick you.
That's true. He'll.
And if he's in a bad mood, he might just kick you anyway.
So yeah, don't get on his bad side is what we're saying. Okay,
yep.
So we want to thank Delta Knight for sending us some wonderful links this week. The first one that we're going to talk about, we have to talk about impending robot apocalypse news, because we do often talk about impending robot apocalypse news. And I thought this was a nice follow-up, actually. This is from the Boston Globe. They're talking about Watson. If you remember last week, we talked all about Watson trashing people on Jeopardy. If you didn't see those Jeopardies, they are well worth having a look at. But the Boston Globe has actually put out an article this week talking about life after Jeopardy. What is Watson going to do? What is the practical application of Watson?
I would have figured he would have just retired on his Jeopardy money, but apparently not.
I think he had to give it all to charity. That was the problem. Apparently, they're actually looking at a career in medicine for Watson. And before you say, I don't want a robot doctor, that's not quite what they're talking about. What they're talking about is, because Watson works on that concept of being able to decipher language, which is what his specialty is, they figured that a medical application for him, you come in, you have a random group of symptoms, you can key all of that into Watson, and Watson can then go through its databases and kind of piece together various diagnoses ranked that gives doctors basically a shortcut. Instead of having to try and do lots of guesswork, they can basically use this as deciphering all these random symptoms. It's an interesting notion. And
Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watson. And I,
he got it.
And there's already a program called Sherlock out there somewhere, so I think we're in business. All right, so.
We just need to put the two of them together and we'll solve every medical crime in the world.
Damn straight. So I guess the first trick will be that they have to make Watson smaller. And cheaper.
Well, no, not necessarily, because if they put it back in their offices back at home.
Oh, I never left
remote
there.
Access.
They took Jeopardy there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Remote access.
That's true. They could just make terminals into Watson. That would be very interesting. So, as I say, this is still a time off. This is they're still working on this concept, but this is could be a future job for Watson, is to work in medicine and learn more about our human anatomy so that they can learn better ways to kill us. Okay, so, let's face it, if you put in the total amount of medical information that we know into this computer and then give it the ability to learn, that's kind of a scary thought that they would know everything about our anatomy and everything about our frail human bodies.
Do you think smoking will be the first thing that they'll get pissed off at? It would be like 90% of the problems caused in this world by people
smoking and obesity.
Oh, God.
Smoking and obesity. These are the two catchphrases at the moment. So, yes, Watson will say, "You're fat. Stop smoking. You're fat."
James says that he thought that Watson was going on a talk show around Letterman, Ellen, The View. He won't do Conan, though.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, quite frankly, what is that great? There's a great quote from Letterman from many years ago when he actually had Madonna on. I don't remember if you remember the whole Madonna fiasco where he basically said Madonna will never be on his show again.
Yeah.
And he has had her on since. But it was she was completely obnoxious on the show and he hated her. And he actually said the next night, he said, I want to apologize about the Madonna thing. It was like a battle of... No, so Robin Williams came on the show and he said, yeah, I saw Madonna on last night, and Robin Williams said, yeah, it was like a battle of wits with an unarmed woman. And I just think that, you know, putting Watson onto Conan would be like a battle of wits with an unarmed opponent. So, anyway, oh boy, that's nasty. Sorry, Conan, didn't mean that. All right, so this week in tech, I guess we're kind of dominated by Apple again. This is their time of year, though, guys, so if you wonder why we're dominated by Apple, early half of the year is where they do a lot of their announcements.
Mm.
And this week we had, and I'm going to throw to Josh on this one because he's seen them. He's been having a look at them. We had the MacBook Pro refresh kind of come out of nowhere. It just kind of slid straight into
the
stores.
Well, like, I mean, it wasn't quite out of nowhere. We've known for about 2 weeks because the stock dropped off completely and then Apple just went dark on what it was about refreshing it. Like, we didn't know what was happening. There was no stock. We got down to the point where we literally couldn't find them. Like, we had customers that were supposed to get them where problems were happening, and we just had nothing to give them. And it's kind of good, because the one that probably kicked up a bit of the most stink about the whole situation ended up getting a freaking brand new, much better MacBook, so...
Yeah, and I'm pissed off, because, of course, I bought mine about a month ago, you know, and it's like these new ones. So what are some of the highlights of these new MacBooks? Because these new MacBooks are amazing.
Oh, dude, I must say that, like, if it wasn't for the price tag still being well out of the price of which I would ever pay for a computer based on the fact that I can get a lot better computer for about $400, I would have to say that the new MacBooks are amazing for people that just want a computer and they're willing to pay, you know, standardized pricing for them. You are looking literally at two hard drives. One is a still state. It's not a big still state, but it's enough to hold the OS and iLife on it. So basically, those are both running from a still state drive. So that's a speed increase right there.
Well, you're talking about iPad style instant on then as well. Yeah.
And then you're also looking at the awesomeness of the fact that you have in the lowest range, which used to be a Core 2 Duo, is now running an i5. That's the lowest spec processor in the range, and then from there it goes almost immediately. I think the next step up is literally an i7. There is pretty much all of the range and all of the 15-inch are all quad cores, so goddamn. And then on top of that, apart from the low-end one, I think almost every single one of them is running a graphics processor at least.
And they've also got the new interface, which is Intel's much touted Lightpeak, which has now been renamed Thunderbolt.
How dare they?
How dare they do that? I've heard all these people complaining about the fact they changed the name. And Intel basically said Lightpeak was a code name. It's like, you know, Longhorn turned into Vista. You know, it's all code name. You know, it's what we work with. Although I kind of like Lightpeak. But anyway, what is Thunderbolt is the question, I guess, what people want to know. But this is the holy grail of connectors, basically. They're the one ring to bind them all, one connector to rule them. You know, it's the idea is to basically replace mini display port, FireWire, and theoretically, USB 3. Mm. Now, the USB 3 thing is a bit weird.
It's a bit up in the air.
Intel's been cagey about it, whether or not this will actually change that over. The new MacBooks still have USB ports, though, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, at the moment, they still have USB ports. So now, Delta's saying, I like solid-state drives. Now, what I like about, before we go on to Thunderbolt, the one thing I do like about the new Macs is that they're using a combination, because the problem with solid-state drives is they're not big enough.
Yep.
So to have your system software sitting on a solid-state drive and then have a storage, a physical spinning storage drive, I think is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, this Thunderbolt, so basically a lot of people said, why did Apple ditch the DVI port and move to mini display port?
Mm.
And there was a lot of complaints about that last year. Well, now we actually know why, because the mini display port is now the Thunderbolt port, and they have the same connector.
Yeah.
And they are compatible with each other. So Apple, as usual, is playing the long game. They knew what was coming. They were just getting ready for it.
Yep. Just a quick refresh to make sure that I get my facts right. Both the 13 inches are dual cores, but the second 13 inches is an i7 dual core. And both of the low-end models are running Intel HD graphics. It's the 15s on which that are running graphics card, which, funnily enough, are all Intel. All AMD.
Yeah, they've ditched NVIDIA.
Yeah. And have you noticed that the ATI has gone? It's no longer called ATI? It's actually AMD.
So they absorbed ATI.
Yeah, because we noticed this on the PC computers as well. The new models were actually coming out labeled, like there was no ATI anymore. It just said Radeon.
That's an end of an era, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because ATI was like the chief shit for a while there. Mm. So AMD's obviously absorbed ATI.
Mm.
To AMD chips sitting on an Intel board. There's something wrong about that.
I just can't wait for when this backlash is into the PC world. This is what I'm waiting for. I want to be amazed by a PC computer now, because literally our PC range literally feels like dust is gathering.
Well, stand by, because the talk I've been hearing is this new Hewlett and Packard range that's coming out. They've all got brushed metal cases. They look like MacBooks, basically. Yeah. They're all running quad cores. They're amazing looking machines. Apparently, they are boasting at the moment in the stock model 15-hour battery, Josh. Mm. This is the part that I love. Ready for this? With an expansion bay, so you can put a second battery to boast up to 36 hours of battery.
Wow.
Now, it adds an extra pound to the laptop, of course, because you're adding an extra battery, but who cares?
Yeah.
Now, the question is, 36 hours of battery doing what is my question. But I'd be happy with a laptop that could do 15 hours of battery. My God, you know, this is just amazing. These HPs are supposed to be quite something. Now, here's the most impressive part about the HPs. In America, I don't know what the Australian pricing is going to be like, but in America, they're now saying that the highest end HP in this range is the same cost as the lowest end MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
They actually start from $600.
Yeah. No, this is what I want to see, because literally I've been waiting for a realistic drop in price. But you know what? I'm still playing the smart card. I'm going to wait until all of these drop, and then I'm going to be aiming for the prices on the old ones, because they will freaking skyrocket through the floor. Like, you will just
skyrocket through the floor? That's kind of a mixed metaphor, isn't it?
Why? Because you can turn a skyrocket. Oh, okay.
Fire it downwards. Yeah, all right. Floor. Cool. I was going to say drop.
I screwed it up. Drop, all right? Back off. Fuck.
All right. It's that morning. It's this morning. What can I tell you? All right. So Thunderbolt, by the
way. Just let that pass. No, that's just not going to happen.
No, not that. Not on this show. Thunderbolt, by the way, for those who don't understand what it is a combination of fiber optics and copper. The first Thunderbolts that are coming out will only be copper. These are the ones that are for the display port on these machines. They carry, 10 watts of power, I believe. And they have a theoretical transfer speed of 300 megabits a second, I think it is. Something like that. It's pretty impressive. Much faster than USB 3. I think those numbers are right. I could be wrong. My geeks in my chat room will correct me if I'm wrong. There are three types of Thunderbolt cable, though. Now, this is where it's going to get a little bit confusing, because apparently there is this copper type.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is going to be a copper and fiber, which can carry data through the fiber and the power through the copper. And then there's going to be just a fiber version, which just carries the data.
Wow.
Now, the interesting part of this is you can daisy chain up to six devices. And apparently the power through the copper actually will share between all six devices as well.
Oh,
so you can actually put like your hard drive on, then follow that by a printer, then follow that by your monitor, then follow that by whatever, and it'll actually daisy chain through all of these things. It's pretty...
Oh, dude, they're calling them ProBooks. That's so good.
Which ones? Like, the HPs?
The HPs are literally going to be called ProBooks. It's like, wow. Way to just admit you're ripping people off.
Excuse me. So this new Thunderbolt interface is going to be interesting. Now, before you rush out and buy anything Thunderbolt, there are no Thunderbolt peripherals yet. But this is the same thing that happened with USB. When USB first came out, there was nothing.
Yep.
They had a plug, and that was it. And USB devices came very quickly. The question
is whether
or not
USB 3 is even going to take off now.
Well, and it's, considering that Intel is behind USB 3 as well, they've been kind of sweeping it slowly under the rug, so,
well,
you know?
No, they never really took off with it. I mean, the high-end ASUS machines had a USB 3 support, and no, that was it.
Yeah, and Apple won't. Because Apple sat on a fence and basically said USB 3 or Thunderbolt, basically, and they've opted to go Thunderbolt way, which means I make you a bet in a year's time, the next MacBook Pro refresh that comes out, it'll be down to one USB port and probably have two Thunderbolt drives, you know? And this is the way they'll work. And this Apple drove USB, if you remember, way back in the day. They were the first ones to really implement USB 1. Mm. As I said to Josh, not everybody's an Apple user, but when Apple does a big thing,
it
shakes the industry, you know?
Dave, what it is that we've got to a point with Apple that Apple have put themselves in the best position you could possibly be in the tech industry because they can sit on high and watch the world move and then just pick the points that they want to change things.
Well, and so Calisynth has just pointed out in the chat room, they also push FireWire. They were one of the biggest proponents of FireWire.
Oh, dude, and you know what? That was such a risk. Like, that's a gutsy business move, man, because for a long time, FireWire was like that port that was just like...
It was a video camera port.
Yeah, and PC users had to get like a separate card for it and all this sort of stuff. It was never like a standardized port on PCs. And then it started to slowly trickle through. It's only now that it's just slammed hard. Now that
And what's so funny is it finally made its breakthrough, all the cameras moved to USB 2 and you no longer need your FireWire port anymore. And FireWire slowed down. And this is why even Apple is moving away from FireWire now. You know, FireWire had its day and it was brilliant. I really like FireWire. But it's had its day. And I think Thunderbolt is going to be the one to watch. This is going to be, as I say, this is the one port to rule them all. This has kind of been the holy grail for a long time. Standardize it all down, make one port, two ports on the side of your machine max that does everything.
Yeah.
You start carrying network through that thing as well. Forget about it. It's done.
This is a really interesting time as far as computers go, man, because this is what I was telling people for a long time about. Like, all these people that were aiming for i7s, especially just mom and pop, I was saying, don't do this. Like, you need a new computer, sure, fine. i3, i5, and people were like, I want the new technology. I go, this is not the time to buy new technology, because it was just obvious. There was this weird effect on the industry. It's like MacBooks were selling out the roof, but it was for the exact same reason I was suggesting go mid-range PCs. People weren't buying computers based on superpower. Like, that was always the way we bought back in the day. You bought the highest computer and waited until it eventually drowned out, and then you had to get something more powerful. But with dual core and quad core and all this being such a sort of mixed batch, and like there were so many different types and stuff like this, it was never the time to try and push into the industry, because it was just so obvious that there was going to be this slip where everything came down. It was like the whole world crashed, and this is the point. Right, like Friday was when it happened. Friday, when those computers hit, there was a resounding effect. No one was hitting budgets. No one was getting money through the till, because everyone knew something was coming.
Yeah.
There was just nothing available. And it's like, now that we know that and all this stuff has happened, God, it's going to be interesting.
It's the same argument you have at the moment, which is don't buy an iPad at the moment, because March 2nd has been now confirmed as iPad Day. They're having their announcement. Now, the new iPads won't come out until what? Unless there's something really extraordinary under the hood. We've heard about manufacturing already happening and stuff like that. But unless something extraordinary happens, they're not going to push the new iPads out until April, May, right? But they're announcing them in March. And as soon as they announce them, forget about it. What's the point in buying the first generation iPad?
And more than just forget about it. Don't necessarily forget about it, but just wait. Give it 6 weeks, and Apple will halve the price on the old ones. And they'll be the low-end ones.
That'll be the budget ones.
Yeah,
right.
You'll get the low-end ones. You go get those, and then you go out and get the other one.
Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, this is actually not in the show notes, but I just literally heard it before I walked up the stairs to come into the studio right now. Remember last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Zoom tablet and how you had to have that 3G account for a month just to activate it?
Yeah.
Apparently, I just listened to a guy who said he bought a Zoom tablet. They said, you need to activate it. Do you want the account? He said, no, I'd rather do this at home. Thank you, taking a risk. Went home, turned it on, connected to Wi-Fi straight off the bat. So it's a scam.
Ah.
All right, so it's a scam. They're trying to sell them data packages, and you don't need it if you've got the Wi-Fi model.
That's cool.
All right, so that's that Zoom update for you. Bottom line is these new MacBooks are extraordinary.
They're Thunderbolt.
They're the tits, as Josh would say.
There you go. They get my "it's the tits" thumbs up.
Thunderbolt is extraordinary. To use the FireWire on it, you actually have to... It's just an adapter plug, as far as I'm aware. And same with the mini display port.
Yeah.
It's just an adapter plug, but it's actually the same form factor socket.
Cool.
So that's what you need. USB,
can
we don't
get
know.
That stick made up? I'm sorry, I can't let that go. I just want a picture of me like this.
It's the tits.
With, it's the tits. Geek actually says,
we'll get the photo the and I'll make a t-shirt for you. How's that sound? Josh's It's the Tits Award. It ranks. It's the tits.
All right. Just have it on certain products that they send us for free and we think are awesome. It'll just be a sticker of us like...
All, as somebody just said, they just found out 5 minutes ago that Zune isn't Zoom. Yes, absolutely. Zune isn't Zoom. And in fact, Zune is being discontinued, I heard. I could be wrong about that, but I actually heard that it looks like Microsoft is finally throwing in the dish rag on that one. Probably because all the Zune technology is basically in Windows Phone 7 anyway. But we'll come back to Windows Phone 7 in a minute because I've got another story about that, which is actually quite funny. The other thing that we thought we'd bring up about Apple this week is we got the iPad 2 announcement. Absolutely. There has been a lot of talk at the moment about prices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And first thing we want to say is competitors are starting to complain, and this is a really odd one, competitors are starting to complain that they can't match Apple's prices. As we know, the Zoom is coming out, and even the comparable Zoom to iPad, the Zoom is still $50 more than the highest-end iPad. So right. You look at it and go, why is it that Apple... And basically, the article that we've got in the show notes, which is... from Gizmodo, is a really interesting article because it actually talks about the fact that the reason why Apple has been able to work on these really competitive prices on things like iPhones and tablets is because they control the chain from design through to construction through to output and distribution because of their Apple stores and everything else. So they managed to cut costs where a lot of competitors can't because they are at the mercy of licenses and everything else that they have to do, whereas Apple controls it. They control everything about their manufacture from beginning to end, and that is going to help prices because they don't have to worry about paying out licensees and stuff like that for doing all the various bits of work. The only thing they have to pay is Foxconn to actually put it together, you know? And now with them actually producing their own chips for their mobile devices, it's not surprising they can bring the cost down. And they can wear, I mean, Apple has billions of dollars. They can wear a subsidy if they have to, you know? Yeah. So that would explain that. The other thing about money that was actually playing up was this iTunes story, which I thought was really interesting. It was actually in Sydney Morning Herald this week. Basically, consumer group choice has chastised Apple over their pricing in Australia on the iTunes Store.
Ooh.
Because they basically said that the Apple iTunes Store in Australia, its prices are not comparable to the prices or comparable to the prices on the American store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is an exchange rate formula that Apple uses for their stuff. But the problem is the exchange rate has changed so drastically over the last year that we are now on parity. But the iTunes Store has never changed their rates.
Yeah.
And so they actually did a test and they said that they bought a new release album, 3 hit singles, 4 iPhone apps and pages for the iPad.
Yep.
And they found that Australians paid for that haul. They paid $52.32 in Australian dollars, in US dollars. But those in the US paid the equivalent of $35.80.
Look, and we've talked about this before, Dave, because it's like when you go into a store, it's like in America, iTunes is a lot more used, especially for music download, because the prices are really
low.
Low, yeah. Whereas here, they're not.
No.
I can buy the same album, as an example, and you can all feel free to laugh. I went out and bought, because I've listened to this album throughout my entire childhood, and I never paid for it, and I feel sad about that.
I never laugh at people's choice of music.
Yep. Okay, so I
except
went out
my
and
mother,
bought... Yep. I went out and bought Dr. Dre's 2001, The Chronic. Now, anyone that doesn't like that, well, to hell with you, because I like rap. but anyway, I bought that album for $7. If you go onto iTunes, I can guarantee if it's there, it will be $16.99 cheapest price.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's my problem with it. It's like, that is not comparable at all.
Freak says he has that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, as an example, that's what I'm saying. It's like there is no, and this is like a store price. That's not even my reduced price.
No, and considering it's digital format, you're not getting boxes, you're not getting physical media. There's no staff that have to maintain this. So you look at it and go, this should be lower. And what's happening is that I think by the looks of it, Apple is still working on an exchange rate of about 60-something cents to the dollar, and that's not where our exchange rate sits. Okay, take into account the GST. Yes, we have a GST. Add 10% to whatever it is. But even with that GST, these prices are way overinflated. And so there has been a call, an investigation into iTunes pricing, basically saying why? Why? What is the problem here? So we'll wait to see what the results of that are.
Yeah, you motherfuckers are going to reimburse me for all the shit that I buy on a weekly basis? I somehow
And I have to say,
it.
When the exchange rate was awful, the prices on iTunes didn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
But now the exchange rate is really good. You kind of look at it going, really?
Hey, look, if this backfires and it goes back to normal, I ain't going to kick any stink. I'm still more than happy with the prices. It's just I'm not going to keep buying stuff if you're going to end up lowering my price.
All right, so we'll leave that one there. But yeah, that's. I think it's just very interesting that Choice is now having a look at that because it's something that's bothered me for some time. And I'm very happy that somebody is finally looking at it. Let's give some love to the other camp because we've been harping on Apple for the last 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And say that this week, Windows, Microsoft, finally released Service Pack 1 for the Windows 7 and its server, Windows Server 2008 R2, finally got their Service Pack 1s. Now, it's actually a little over a year, so they're a little bit late.
Well, look, you know why no one's complained? Because there's not enough broken with it that we care?
No, and all the and funnily enough, normally when a major Service Pack comes out, yes, it incorporates all of the past patches up until now, which is nice. That's great. But there's usually a little bit of added functionality or they've added a new feature or something. Remember when Windows 95 Service Pack 1, Windows 98 Service Pack 1, they always added some new stuff to it. Nothing. It was the most non-event service pack I've ever seen. Yeah. The only two major additions to it are network-related for the relationship between server and Windows. Other than that, I can't really see any difference between Windows 7 and Windows 7 Service Pack 1. It's just a bug fix. And if you've been updating all your bugs throughout the year anyway, there's nothing really happening. So it's kind of a non-event, but I'll let people know that if you are running Windows 7... hit your update right now, and you'll get you will get your Service Pack 1. The other piece of updating news that I thought was an absolute killer was the first update for Windows Phone 7 came out. Now, the first update for Windows Phone 7, the March update, we're in February, but it's close enough to March, was supposed to have copy and paste and a few other things that were left out of the initial release. This Service Pack has none of those. Okay, it is literally just an update. And here's the funny part. It bricked a whole bunch of phones.
Oh, now, wow.
I know. Now, what happened was apparently there is a problem in compatibility with some of the Samsung phones. Now, I think Microsoft is actually, quite frankly, is downplaying this a little bit. Everything I've read, basically, Microsoft has now come out with a press statement saying that only 10% of phones were actually affected by this bricking, this lockup.
That's a lot of phones.
And they were all the Samsungs, right? It was like the Samsungs had a problem here. And Microsoft is blaming it on not enough inadequate disk space or a bad internet connection. In other words, it's your fault, not ours, right? All right, so they're saying, you know, 90%...
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that.
I know. Are you waiting for the punchline of this? So they're basically saying it's only 10% of users. You know, the other 90% of users are all fine, blah, blah, blah. But they pulled the update. So they actually pulled the update. Now, that says to me that they're worried about something. If it was only 10%, it was only the Samsung phones, they could have said, you know, you guys are okay, you guys... sit back for a second and don't do this. Everybody else is fine. But they pulled the update for the moment, right, while they fixed it. And here's the irony. Here's the kicker. Here's the punchline. What did this actually update on the phone? The updater.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
So
that's...
it was actually an update to fix the updater that bricked 10% of the phones in use. Now, mind you, with Windows Phone 7 sales, that means it's about five phones. But, you know, that's beside the point, you know?
Yeah.
But they have pulled the update. Okay, what do you got to say about that, Josh?
No, I was just saying it's amazing that a company that produces a software which runs on a base set of phones, like Microsoft is very well known for, bricks phones based on their type. So, in other words, everything that is a type. But yet you didn't think to try this update on every one of the phones in your
range.
And
there's nine phones in the Windows 7 range.
Yeah.
Right? Nine phones. It's and they know what models those phones are, so why weren't they tested? Somebody pointed out, it was in our chat room, they actually said, Freak has said that's the problem with multiple platforms. It's hard to make changes for certain brands. Absolutely. Yeah. But Windows Phone 7 is controlled. There's only like 9 models of phone. Mm. So those 9 models were known. And in fact, the Samsung phones, the Samsung Focus, is the most popular one. That was the one that everybody promoted as being the phone to get in Windows Phone 7. And so Samsung is the phone to get, but that's the one that has the problems?
Wow.
That's a problem. Yeah. You know, I see that as a big problem. And James from Melbourne says this is an admission of guilt that they actually pulled it. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that Microsoft blames its users. Mm. They don't say, oh, we have a problem, let's see if we can fix it. They go, you probably have a problem.
James, I can see where you're coming from with that statement about the whole, there's only 9 phones that would take years and years to test, or is that sarcasm? I've just realized that could possibly be sarcasm.
He's saying 9 whole phones. Yeah.
Ah, yes, thank God. Because I was about to counter that with, like, you can still just drop the update onto these 9 phones and see if it works.
You would assume that Microsoft actually has one of each of these 9 phones, at least.
Or at least being a giant company like Microsoft is, and, you know, not quite in the basement of someone's house again.
And here's a bigger
question. But that's where they're heading.
If they're having problems with these 9 phones, what happens when Windows Phone 7 starts pushing out on all the Nokias? Which is what's going to happen, because they're in bed with each other now. So when they start pushing out on a dozen more Nokia phones as well, they got to really pick up their game a little bit on this one. Windows Phone 7 is, look, I have no problems with Windows Phone 7. It looks like a really nice system. But it's been a problem since the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a problem with their launch. They didn't get the... Now, Apple blamed users on the whole antenna gate thing. Well, yeah, they did kind of. I agree with that. But at the same time, I think antenna gate was completely overinflated. And I think that's what Apple was trying to say. Mm-hmm. Josh and I have had no problems.
Yeah.
The antenna gate thing only seemed to affect people on AT&T. It didn't seem to affect anybody
else around the world. I had a lot more problems than antenna gate. But guys, let me tell you, I'm with Vodafone. So, you know, like, I've got problems coming out every like 2 seconds right now. So, yeah, like, I mean, that might be where I didn't notice it. It's like my reception's always shit.
Yeah. Look, this concept, the Americans go on all the time about dropped calls and stuff. I don't get dropped calls very much.
No. Admittedly, I don't.
That's not
a
problem that Australia really has. We don't have this issue that America seems to have with its phone networks. And I put this down purely and wholly to a substandard mobile network because they're not regulated in any way. And I think that's the biggest problem with the American system.
Yeah.
Voter fails, is freak.
That's so funny. Tell you what, I'll sell you a Covington.
Sorry, we're just reading our chat room. All right, let's move on and say that I want to, if I had a drink, I have a drink, I have a coffee. I'm going to say cheers to IINet, the number 2 internet service provider in Australia. Ting. They beat Hollywood again.
Yeah.
They had their court case this week, which was basically the appeal on the court case they had last year, if you remember, where Hollywood basically came to them and said that they are encouraging piracy on their network, and they were basically taking IINet to task for not locking down things like BitTorrent and stuff like that. And IINet said, go fuck yourselves, basically, and said that, well, you know, we're like a phone company. What people do on our network is not our issue.
Yeah.
We are just a service provider.
Yeah.
Good on them, because that's exactly right.
And they won, and
Hollywood got pissed off and appealed it, and they took it back, and the judgment came down on Friday afternoon, and the judge said, no, we'll throw this out of court again because this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And the judge even said, there are cases where ISPs may turn a blind eye to things, but that is not the case here.
Yeah.
And he threw it out again.
They will send emails to you if you keep using it.
That's correct. Now, IINet does not condone piracy, but at the same time, they are the most reasonable and sound group of people as a company because they understand what they're selling.
Oh, and more than that, it's just that they have good plans with good caps. That's the reason. If someone else had the same size caps on their data plans, then they would become the target of Hollywood. The reality is that
IINet gives you a terabyte.
Yeah.
So anyway, IINet, congratulations. Hollywood has said that they will appeal again. Of course they will.
They freaking will. And they'll just keep coming.
And they will just keep coming. But I actually kind of really believe that IINet will just keep winning in this situation because I don't think Hollywood has a leg to stand on, quite frankly, in this situation. All right.
Yeah.
So congratulations, IINet. I am proud to have been a customer with you for almost 10 years now. So, okay. Sony, we reported last week that
I remember.
Michael Ephraim, who's the head of Sony Australia, basically made that comment saying, we're launching our new thing. Ephraim, sorry. Yeah. Basically, what's the name of the Sony service? I forget what they're called. It's their unlimited music service or whatever it's called. Anyway, whatever it's called, basically said, if this works, then we're going to pull all our stuff out of iTunes. We don't need iTunes. Well, Big Brother Sony, World Sony, slapped him on the wrist and basically said, we have no plans at all to remove our stuff from iTunes. Economically, why would we?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is just a weird thing for you to have said. So basically, the long and the short of it, Sony is not pulling out of iTunes, but they are launching their unlimited music service because it's a different service. They're offering a rental service, basically, where you have a subscription plan and you can just listen to music and it's streamed. It's a very different concept. Mm-hmm. So I think Michael Ephraim, whatever, is just a little embarrassed about his comments. Either that or he's a complete schmuck and he's sitting back there going, how dare you, Sony? How dare you, bosses? And he'll quit soon. But anyway, we'll see. Just remember, all of our links for all of these stories are in our show notes and you can read them in more detail if you want to. That's actually a Sydney Morning Herald story. Mm. Now, I was going to just briefly touch on this because I just want to know, is this a reasonable argument or is this just more Big Brother? Children who in America, there's a certain state. I should bring up the article, I guess, shouldn't I? Mm. I should bring up the article so I can get my facts right. Yeah. But basically, Gizmodo is reporting that there is a middle school that is trying to beat truancy. It's in Anaheim, California. And they're basically, if you have been truant or if you've been away from school an unreasonable number of times, they're going to fix you with a GPS device. And basically, they can track you and they can find out where you are. And basically, you have to check in 5 times a day to make sure you're at school. So basically, it's Big Brother is watching you to pin you down so that you are at school.
That seems a little heavy-handed.
It does, but my other argument is, legally, these kids have to be at school. So, I don't know, the article doesn't go so far as to say they have to wear this GPS device outside of school hours, but during school hours, they're fitted with their GPS tracker. And
wow, so it's pretty much like a...
like one of those bands you put on the criminals. Yeah, it's like what Lindsay Lohan was wearing. I think this is actually just something you put in your pocket, though. I don't think it's actually a band. But still... and I guess the way they get counter that is you have to check in, which is at school.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, sign in.
What if your friends sign in for
you? Well, that's what I was saying. There's so many ways to rot this system.
I think this is the great thing of people that don't quite realistically understand technology. There's a lot of ways to get around that.
Now, it does say here that the pilot program for this is only going to run for 6 weeks to see if they can prove it successful. I think it'll be a resounding failure.
Well, look, I've got a couple of other things for you. Like, as an example, if I was to wrap tinfoil around it or something like that to screw up the signal, and I'm away and I can still clock in during the times in between, realistically, you can't prove I wasn't at school.
So you put your GPS device in your locker, so it's at school all the time. Mm. You check in, or you get your friends to check in, and then you take off and go to the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good to me.
Exactly.
They're saying that you have to... the attendance rate has to be over 77%. If you're under 77% attendance, that's when you get deemed as being one of these truant kids, mm-hmm. and that's when you get fitted. Somebody in the article actually pointed out, this is quoting from the Gizmodo article, not wishing to color my old school in a negative light, but if 77% is deemed a low attendance rate, then kids today just aren't as bad as I thought they were. It says, they're certainly not as naughty as I was. All right. And let me tell you right now, form two, for me, they're not as naughty as I was. I had an attendance rate that was lower than 6%, something like that. I missed 180 days out of the year.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty, and I passed. It's pretty good effort. So, I spent a lot of time at the movies. Anyway, I hated school back then. Form three, I was better. But form two, 1 year.
We should have fitted you with a GPS device.
I think if I was at school today, boy, I'd be locked up and thrown away the key, But anyway. Okay. Now, this is actually a concept. Now, you're going to have to go to the website in the show notes and actually click on the link to see the picture. But we will describe it to you. This is concept only at this point. But if they make this a reality, I'm in. I think this is brilliant. This is from Lebedev Studio, or art.lebedev Studio. These are disposable USB flash drives. They're made of cardboard, and basically you buy them in strips, and you just rip them off as you need them. 16-gig flash drives. So you basically just, write in text or whatever it is on whatever it is on the top, plug it in, copy your files, move it over. This, I'm not even thinking for personal use. Can you imagine? This is what they're going to start putting in magazines and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
They just glue it to the front of the magazine, and they have,
just,
you know,
that
files.
Glue
and,
that you can pull off.
That's right, that gummy glue. Absolutely.
Your trailers and stuff like that.
Putting it into, like, you buy, if you are one of those people who goes and buys a CD, they can actually put one of these in there, which has the music videos on it.
Or maybe the digital version of the album. Like, as an example, when you buy vinyls now, I've been buying quite a few vinyls lately, you get a digital copy. Just slip that in there.
Absolutely. And here's the biggest one for me. Digital copies of movies. You go buy the DVD, they have to put that extra DVD in there for the digital copy of the movie, which you only use once, right? Put the digital copy on one of these things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Copy it over to your iTunes and then throw the stick away.
And the cost would be so minimal.
Absolutely. I think this is a brilliant idea, and why hasn't it been done before?
Man, let's keep on this one.
I want to see if they actually can make this work. It is this is just concept at this point, and I think that this is... I mean, basically, if you see the flip side of this, I think there's an image here. That's the flash drive. It's all in copper. It's just sitting on the head of it. You know, and you sit there and go, the rest of it is just quite literally a cardboard strip. It looks like a stick of gum, you know? I think that's brilliant. Question is, will they make light peak version? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Anyway, but I think that's really neat. And I think if you get a chance to go and have a look at our show notes, there's some pictures. They're like, they're renders, basically. The device hasn't been built, but I am all for this. I think this is a way of cutting down on all those stray discs that you have kicking around. And could you imagine, they'll start selling digital copies of movies just on these things because they know you're not going to keep it then.
Yeah.
You'll put it on your computer, dude, and you'll bin it.
You'll get those great machines that you can get, like Red Room ones, where it'll be basically, there'll just be a machine beside it where you just put in like $5 and the movie just pops out on a stick.
And it reminds me of back in the day, because remember, I'm old. Back in the day, there was actually a disposable VHS tape made one point, which was a VHS tape, but the case was made of cardboard.
Yeah.
And it would literally only play one or two times before the box would fall apart and then it wouldn't play anymore. Right? And so it was literally a disposable VHS tape. And it was a dumb idea and didn't take off. But we're always looking for that next stage, that next idea of a disposable device, you know?
Well, I think you're very clever, guys.
I think it's very clever because, let's face it, not everybody has unlimited bandwidth caps and can pull down, you know, a 1.5 gig movie or something like that. This way they can get their digital copy straight on a thing and they're ready to go. Josh and I wanted to talk a little bit, and once again, I think we're running out of time.
No, we do not have time to do that much. Not that much.
Not that much. We were going to talk, and what we might do is we might save this for next week. I tell you what, next week we'll do this talk, because this is a very important talk we want to talk about. We'll talk to Delta as well. We'll cut back the stories.
The other reason to do it next week, and I know that we do it,
because iPad 2 is coming as well.
Well, not only that, we're going to have the announcements of that, but we're also going to see the first stages of what happens when all this new computing hits the floor.
Yeah.
So I think next week, because
all right, we're dancing around the subject. What we're actually going to have a discussion about is the future of computing. Now, this is just you're all welcome to join in on this conversation. We might even open up the phone line, see if anybody wants to join us on this one as well, because this is it's an interesting topic, and some of the topic points we want to talk about were things like, what is the next big watershed computer? Now, don't throw in your ideas in the chat room right now. Hold those thoughts until next week. Josh and I were discussing, though, and we were saying that it's about every 10 years you see that next big moment. And we're actually due at this point in time for the next big moment. And so what is the next big moment? Can we figure that out? What we want to talk about are things like, our computers as we know them right now basically a thing of the past? Are we moving into a different era of computers? A point that we really talked about, which was, are geeks like us a dying breed now that every man and his dog has a computer, and computers are becoming simpler and simpler and simpler. The idea is to go for ease of use rather than it being something that we can tinker with. Are we becoming a dying breed? You know, so it's something to talk about as well. What is the future of e-commerce as compared to brick and mortar stores? Are we seeing the end of retail as we know it? And are we moving into a new world? And so these are all ideas that we want to talk about. We had this long discussion just before Christmas, and we thought, this is something we really need to discuss out. And so it's not going to be hard news or anything. It's just going to be an opinion piece, and it's going to probably, majority of the show will probably be this. And as I say, we would love to, we'll open up the Skype line, and so you guys can like make sure you've just got your questions sorted out in advance, throw questions in there, and we'll just discuss some stuff out. So I think it could be very interesting. And we'll come back to that next week. So Delta, not a lot of tech stories next week because geek stories, yes, not a lot of tech stories. Okay. All right, let's talk about some geek stuff. What's been happening around the world right now? First of all, I want to say listener Tristan sent me a last minute email and I just threw it into the story lineup. He didn't actually write anything on the email. It was just a link and said, check this out. And it is for paintball and somebody has come up with a paintball tank. It's a remote controlled paintball tank that you send out to the field. And all I can think is, boy, paintball's come a long way since I played. When I first played paintball, it was with slingshots, you know, and little paintballs. And now it's like automatic weapons and paintball tanks. And I mean, this thing's just a beast. If you go to our show notes, once again, you can see the picture, but it's an armored vehicle, you know? So I just think that's really kind of neat. And you can actually, it's equipped with LCD cameras, so video cameras, and you got LCD screens on your remote, so you can actually see your targets and stuff. Yeah. I'm assuming we're going to see iPhone-type remote controls for this thing. Yeah. So that's pretty neat, and I thought that was, if you're going to go play paintball, that would be the one to do it. This one I had to put in. Delta, thank you so much. You made my day yesterday. It made me laugh and laugh and laugh. And it, for personal reasons, it made me laugh, which I won't go into on the show. Mm. But a Spanish convent has kicked out a nun because she was Facebooking too much. Apparently, they had a tech-savvy nun who had 600 friends on Facebook and was spending far too much time on Facebook, and so the convent booted her. And I just found this completely amusing. I think, way to go, church, to stay up with the times, you know?
Yeah, so they're booting her out. Why? Was she...
Because she was spending far too much time on Facebook and not, I guess, worshiping enough, you know?
But if she was on Facebook, would she have 600 friends? That's like 600 people she could be reaching with
somebody,
a message.
Somebody wanted to know what Maria Jesus Galan was actually doing all this time, and the article on Gizmodo speculates maybe that Facebook has some sort of Nunville or something like that she was playing. Who knows? But, basically it says she also used the convent's single computer to digitize records and do some online banking. And apparently this was all just too high-tech for those nuns. They couldn't, I guess she was doing the devil's work or something, and they kicked her out.
Well, there you go.
She wanted to be God. Thank you, freak.
The sisterhood of Zuckerberg.
So I just, and as I say, I have personal reasons in particular for that being particularly amusing to me. Yeah. But I just thought that was wild. I thought, boy, the church is
maybe
so
they were checking
step.
Her updates. And yeah, maybe like James is saying, maybe it's like getting hammered this weekend.
Callison says, status update. Woke up this morning. Prayed. All right, cool. Played Farmville, arranged the animals in a cross-like pattern. All right, so that's our nun getting kicked out of Facebook. Not getting kicked out of Facebook. I'm sure she's quite welcome in Facebook. She was kicked out of the convent.
This next one's got me mind-boggled. What is this about?
As we know, the Egyptians recently had this little revolution.
Yeah.
And you know, they've had presidents step down and all sorts of stuff. And they absolutely applaud Twitter and Facebook as being the real saviors of this revolution, the social networking world, to the point where, I better get the correct name here, to the point where one Egyptian family has just named their new child, are you ready, Facebook, because they wanted to honor Facebook. And so they have celebrated the recent revolution in honor of the social networking site. This is from, by the way, Geekology. And they have named the little girl Facebook. I think that's going just a step too far, if you ask me.
Oh, man. That poor girl.
And so that poor girl, for her entire life, will be called Face or Book or Bookie or Facey.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that's so sad.
Dear.
No.
So, yes, I say, when naming children, think about their futures, not about just
think
when
about
they come
them.
Out. Yeah, think about them.
You know, maybe they don't want a name like that.
Yes, it's his firstborn daughter. Dear. Her full name is Facebook Jamal Ibrahim.
Really, it's not Facebook, Twitter, social networking.
Now, there's a name I would stand by. I'm going to call my new first child Goala. Right? You know, or something like that.
Facebookmyspace.com. That'll be your name.
Oh, dear. I think.
Why?
Okay. All right. So this is a message to all the Egyptians out there. I know you like Facebook. I know you like Twitter. But please do not name your children after the social networks.
Yeah, because next time around, they're not going to look after you. Seriously, you're not even going to get to a old folks home. They're just going to leave you on the street. I would if you named me that.
Hey, now, Josh, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know those scenes on the news that you see where all those soldiers are firing those high-powered laser weapons all over the screen? It's like a scene out of Star Trek. Isn't that the coolest thing you've ever seen?
Yeah. Dave, we got to have a talk about how many movies you watch.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, all right, so you're saying that we don't have high-powered laser weapons on the battlefield.
As far as I'm aware, there's not really that many in use. I know there are lasers in production, and there's always some laser that's possibly going to be...
Then my question is, why on earth have developers in... now, where are they? I got to find out exactly where these weirdos are. Yale University has actually made an anti-laser. This is a device that can actually absorb the incoming high-powered laser weapon. So basically, shields up!
So they've created a shield for lasers
that don't exist.
That's fantastic.
It's like, dudes, I think you got your technology in reverse. No. Yeah. Okay, let's get a little bit
Maybe
serious.
Maybe it's one of those situations where they hope that if we, do this, then we can work backwards and create the laser.
I guess if we get serious, though, we will actually say that is not what the intended research was supposed to be for.
Right.
It was a fortunate side effect, was they found that this was basically a shield. It was basically an anti-laser. But what it is actually for is the next generation. They're trying to find new ways of moving data around. Mm. And they actually found that rather than moving electrons across circuit boards, they might be able to do this with laser technology.
Right.
So our electronics won't be able to be called electronics in the future because we won't be moving electrons, right? Mm. But there'll be some sort of other technology. And so this is what they were actually working on. But the side effect of this is they found out that it's an anti-laser.
Look, you know what? Goddamn good on them because realistically...
Maybe it's also shields from those microwave beam things. Maybe.
Yeah, look, hey, maybe it is, and that's fine. But realistically, God bless them because reality is... that now, if we get an alien invasion, we have something to fight back with.
We've got shields!
Goddamn right! I'm sorry, guys. We're looking at this the wrong way. We should be thanking these guys, because now, when they come down with the giant lasers, we can just nullify that crap.
And Delta Knight would like
be
to
be like, go home.
Delta Knight would like to throw out the first new name for this would be Lasertronics. Lasertronics or what does light move around? Do they move? They move photons around. It could be Photronics or something.
Photronics.
I like
that. Yeah. That's cool. A good name.
I'm probably completely wrong about my life. It's been, 20 years since I did electronics? But anyway. All right, from super geek shields on our non-existent laser-equipped spaceships to Vietnam being a complete buzzkill, man.
I know. I read this one because it kind of immediately I was like, no.
Vietnam has decided that the youth are wasting their time and have basically put a ban on online gaming.
What do you think's going to happen?
After 10 p.m. They're shutting down the servers.
Yeah, wonderful. They will just go and play offline games.
It'll all be ad hoc and stuff like that. People will be covertly connecting to each other.
Oh, dude.
And bring the LAN parties back.
Exactly. No, realistically, people will just find a way around this. But I've got something even cooler to tell you. I found out, this just jumped out and immediately came to my mind, and we'll talk about what this is. But I have a new advertising campaign for DLC.
Oh, yes?
Because it's on Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights are when WoW servers go down. So I'm going to make up a poster which literally says DLC. It's during WoW downtime. And I'm going to put that up. And we're going to become internet sensations.
I didn't know they actually had a fixed time.
They go down every Tuesday night. And the reality is this is to fix any bugs or problems and reset the servers if they need to or anything like that. It's a great concept. Mm. But... it is funny, though, because doing this may actually have the effect they want, because realistically, the time that WoW fiends are the most, energetic and do the most stuff is during that, 4-hour period where they can't go online. This is where they appear out of their rooms and go talk to their flatmates. About WoW.
Wow. Freak has actually said a few people have died from overgaming. Yes, yeah. And there have been reported cases of people who do that. Do you know what I would say to those people? Get a life, people.
Can we shut it down for a couple of hours as opposed to shutting it down for like all night? Doesn't it just turn off at 10?
It turns off at 10 and comes back on at... I've got the times here. Where is it? 10 to what? Hold on a second. I'm sure it was written here. Anyway, until the morning, basically. They close the server down. Basically, it starts from March 3rd. Here it is, 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
So from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., so they're shutting it down for a 10-hour period. All ISPs are told that they have to initiate this plan. Mm. Any ISP deciding to disregard the request will have their service terminated.
Wow.
By the government. So, their license is gone. Mm. Okay. So yeah, they're serious about this. They actually
sales in gaming, like offline gaming, is going to go through the roof.
I was about to say, way for the government to take over from parental control. Mm. I guess they're also aiming at the adults who don't have parental control. That's
yeah,
that's porn time. Who's worried? Well said, man.
Right there, man.
Yeah, because they're not shutting the ISP down. They're just shutting the gamers down. Now the game server's down. Now you can go and look at all that porn and do your Facebooking and and all that sort of stuff. There you go. I bet you just see a massive increase in that sort
of traffic. Goddamn right. Callison's has actually got it right, though, because that's my biggest problem with this. It's like they're saying that, they're turning it off at night so people won't play as much. But reality is, so they're shutting it down at night, not during the day when people actually get things done.
Maybe what they're saying, though, is that people are staying up too late playing online games, therefore they're tired the next morning, so they're not as productive at work.
Yeah, that's fine, but reality is, what if I finish work at like 9 o'clock at night?
Well, then you're screwed.
Exactly. I can't play games anymore. Why do you get the right to tell me that? Fuck you.
Once again, this steps over that line where I sit there and say the government has no right to step in and control what we do in our personal lives.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think this is a matter of censorship.
This is like if they tell me I can't watch R18 movies during the day. It's like, fuck you. You don't know what my time schedule is. What if I'm one of the people that drives your buses?
Nightclubs have mandatory downtime, says Freak. Says James from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a nightclub.
Yeah, nightclub is different, dude, because nightclub people are going out, they're getting drunk, there's alcohol involved, things are getting smashed and dropped.
This isn't your home.
This is my home, and this is my downtime. Like I said, what if I drive the buses that get people around all day and I get back at like 10 o'clock at night? I want a game. My time is my time. Why do you get the right to make that decision?
That's right. People work all different shifts.
Okay, you know what would be a better idea? Shutting down things like internet cafes or something like
Well, yeah, make them so they're not 24-hour services and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. The reality here is it's not the problem of... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm with that. There's definitely a gray area here, which is my problem with this whole thing. Because I have no particular problem with this. I don't online game that much. But reality is, when I do, it's usually between...
It's the geeking hour, dude.
3 o'clock in the morning. I don't play during the rest of the time. I play when I have to be quiet. I don't have much to do. I just want to sort of sit down and kind of mellow out for a couple of hours. This just seems... Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Fucking A, Northy. Fucking A.
All right, Northy has said, Northy has said, not a gray area. They just need to fuck off and do what we tell them. And in a democracy, that is very much the case. In a democracy, you sit there and say...
Unfortunately, in Vietnam...
I don't think it's a democracy. Is it a democracy? I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm not sure about the politics of Vietnam, but I know there is actually a very famous saying which actually says people should not fear their governments. Governments should fear their people.
Yeah.
The whole concept, and this gets into a little bit of a soapbox here, but the whole concept of America and their right to bear arms is not just a matter of a right to have a semi-automatic rifle. If you actually read the Constitution, the reason why the American people have the right to bear arms is because in the Constitution it actually says people have the right to overthrow their government.
Yeah.
It is actually a throwback to the concept of kicking the English out. Mm. The idea is if the government becomes tyrannical, the Americans have the right to overthrow their government again. Mm. And basically say, we are a democracy, you can't do that. Yeah. Right? And this is why they have the right to bear arms. It has been perverted and twisted and manipulated into all sorts of ways. But if you actually go back to what the Constitution is trying to say, it's basically saying, governments, you're on notice.
Yeah.
You work for us, is what they're basically saying. And this is why democracy as flawed as it might be, and it may not be the best system in the world, it's the best we've got.
Mm. I want to put out an interesting factor, though, because you've now shut down what is probably, especially for males, around 20 to 30, just the same as Calisynth is putting. So you've got 20 to 30-year-old males that now, at nighttime, can't go home and play games until the morning. These people most likely will go out and drink and be violent. So good on you. Well done for thinking that one through really.
That's right. They're all going to go out and drink now rather than... Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Are they going to implement forced curfews as well to go with this? Because otherwise, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just this whole thing is just
the
really
more you
overdone.
Try and hold people down, the more people will find ways to subvert the system. It's as exactly. simple as that. People find a way. All right. The irony of all this, if we're going to talk about censorship, I'm going to skip one. We'll just rearrange two here. If you're going to talk about this, the irony of censorship, like we were just saying, if you force something hard enough, it will come back to bite you in the ass.
Yep.
Gizmodo has an article this week about the mastermind who created the Great Firewall of China.
Yeah.
All those years ago. And he has this wonderful thing where a site has been put up all about him and how it's all about, you know, his glorious, you know, for the people, and he's proud to have, you know, served his country because they needed it to be done, and, you know, all this sort of nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. And also that site has been censored by the Great Firewall of China. In irony news.
Irony. That's just fantastic.
So,
wow.
Yes, his own little site that worships him has basically been put behind the Great Firewall of China,
that's
which is just wonderful, I think.
That's
just
amazing.
Fantastic. And the last little piece of geek news we have, and I think we could have rolled this into the impending robot apocalypse news, but I thought we'd give it a rest one day and just talk about how quite extraordinary this actually is, rather than putting a humorous spin on it, is the fact that they have now come up with a device, basically, that can print skin.
Right.
It's based on the same sort of idea as, like, an inkjet printer, basically. It prints sheets of this artificial skin. And they're saying the battlefield application alone is remarkable, you know? Yeah. But the concept is, one of the things we've always had problems with skin graft is trying to get the skin from somewhere. I mean, people have, you know, skin taken off their ass and put on their arms and stuff during burn victims. Artificial skin, they'll be able to graft straight off with this artificial. This is an amazing, amazing thing. It's a bioprinter that utilizes 3D printing techniques that combine donor cells and bio-friendly gel.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing. And if you
that's
want to.
That's just incredible.
That's incredible. And of course, we can wrap our robots in it and make Terminators. But that's a whole different issue, and we won't do that today. We will just talk about the fact that this is extraordinary. And,
oh, dude, there's just so much practical application for that, and it will be so good for the medical. Like medical industry, this
and
is
also,
one of those things.
Theoretically, if it's got donor cells, we're going to get tissue match because you've just got those cells for the tissue match. But then you've got the bioorganic gel, which is the majority of it. So I don't think we're going to have as much rejection issue. Hopefully, theoretically.
Well, it's still early, but you know, that's fantastic.
It says here, according to a quote, it says, "Just imagine if you could take cells from a donor, culture them, put them into an ink, and recreate an implant that is alive and made from the original cells of the donor."
Wow. That's so cool.
Print skin.
That's really amazing. I'll have to read into that.
And it says here, how useful would that be in terms of avoiding rejection, which is exactly what I just said. So I think that is extraordinary. And you can read the whole article. The Gizmodo article is in our links. It's a short article, but it's a really, really, really interesting notion. We talk about, you know, medical advances. We talk about technology, and we talk about all the great things it can do for us and stuff like that. But where technology really gets amazing is where you start looking at its practical applications in the real world, medicine, geopolitics, warfare, whatever it might be. There are so many things being used. There was a statistic the other day, and of course, your mind immediately thinks Terminator battlefields, but those statistics actually says, what is it? It's a chat room, help me out. One in something troops is a robot in Afghanistan at the moment. It's an amazing statistic. It was like one in eight or something like that is a robot. And we're talking about those little bomb disposal robots and stuff like that. But there are so many robots in use over in the Middle East at the moment. It is staggering. I don't have the stat in front of me, though, unfortunately. All right, let's move on to weird food and say that we have two stories in weird food. One of them isn't so weird. One of them is kind of just blew my mind that it's the country that it's in. And I ran this past Mirren, who knows a lot about that country, and she was saying that this blew her mind as well. First one, though, is your hamburger not fat enough? Are you in a situation where you just want more burger? Well, a new device has come out, which I think is amazing, where you put a hamburger patty on one side and a hamburger patty on the other side, and then you put lots of stuffing. It's like a Jaffel maker. You put lots of stuffing inside it, and then you press the two sides together, and it makes a great big fat patty with all the stuff inside it.
Wow, that's...
It's the stuffed hamburger press, and it's disgusting looking.
Wow, it just comes out. Oh, wow, and the burger they make with it.
And
oh.
they stuff it full of cheese, and so you when you bite it,
dude, I feel ill. That just looks so gross.
So you can go have a look at the picture of that on the show notes. It is worth having a look at. It's not one of the most disgusting things we've shown, because I'm sure
it's,
you could
it's
put
just...
some interesting stuff in there, but I just don't know if we need to fatten our burgers any more than they already are fat.
That's intense.
So that's one, and that's really up there for the geeks. The other one, though, was the one that got me, which is I would have expected this anywhere. Vending machines are all over the world, and you can imagine they try to make a vending machine for anything. We've seen live crabs. We've seen girls' panties. You know, we've seen vending machines for everything. This is a fresh bread-making vending machine. Apparently, it's the size of a truck, right? And there's video you can actually have a look at on the link in our show notes. And you put in your money, and within 60 seconds, it bakes a baguette and drops it into the thing. So you get a hot baguette out of it, right? It's in France.
Awesome. Now, do we have pictures?
Yeah, there are pictures.
No, I want to have a look.
There's also a video. Now, the thing that gets me about this, though, is the French are obsessed about their bread.
Yeah.
And the idea that this would be a French invention, the idea that this would actually be in France... It's mind-blowing that they would actually approve of this, because apparently the bread's not very good.
It's the most popular chain in France.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. And if you watch the video, you'll see the vending machine is huge. I mean, it's a gigantic vending machine. And literally, the only thing it's missing, as this article pointed out, is it really should have a clear window so you can actually see the bread being made. I think that would be cool.
Maybe it's made in a like really uninteresting kind of a way.
Or maybe it's not making fresh bread and all the baguettes are in there and all it does is just microwaves and drops it. So yeah, it literally makes your bread in something like 90 seconds or something like that. It costs €1 to run. Wait about 60 seconds for the bread to bake, and it cools the bread for another 30 seconds, so 90 seconds. There you go. And it pops out. If you watch the video that's on the link, you'll actually see. I didn't include the video in the show because it kind of drags, and you know, it wouldn't have been that interesting for our audio listeners, but do go have a look at that video, because you'll actually see it's got a little digital readout, tells you exactly what's happening with the bread at every stage. But France, I can imagine America doing that, America and other countries, but France just blew my mind. Anyway, I would never have thought the French would have gone, "Ooh, that's so disgusting," you know, but you know, they didn't. They like it.
That's racist, y'all.
I'm stating facts, man.
I'm just in a really bad accent.
Well, you know, I can't do accents, so you know, go figure. All right. Now, our picks of the week this week, I have two.
I have two.
And you have two. Why don't you go first?
All right. Well, while you're getting yours out, my two are both games. Surprise, surprise. Number one is a game which is, in essence, something that I used to play on the DSi. Which was a download game called Yummy Yummy Cooking Jam. Yes, the name is terrible. The game is one of those repetitive system kind of games that always usually frustrate me, but it was just really well made. And it was one of those things where you had to be 100% mind-wise and really, really on the ball to actually pass a level. And it would move up. You can't just start the game halfway through. You've got to start from level one so that you build up the ability to do one task and then add it to the next task that you get as you go along through the game. The game is called Burger Queen, and it is literally working at a fast food joint. Now, I will say that there have been multiple times where I've stopped myself and realized that I'm basically doing what people get paid money to do. Very little money. The only difference is you don't get greasy. But it is a hell of a lot of fun, and I'm about 40 levels in now. And look, it's just good way to kill time. No, it's not James from Melbourne. It is not a gay fast food game. but give it a try. It is good fun. It looks like menu-wise, it looks very similar to the kind of thing that you would see out of Angry Birds. But really good game, really simple, and it's only $1.20 at the moment, Australian. I don't know whether that will be by the time you get the podcast. My other one, however, is called...
Sorry, before you go on to your other one, we just have a confirmation. Callicent has put up the Gizmodo link. It says 1 in 50 robots to humans
in
Afghanistan.
Octane, no, it's not a remake of Burger Time. Burger Time was much less of a like a strategy game. This is more of a strategy game. And the other game is all strategy, which is called Battle Heart.
I'm actually curious about getting this one.
So. Yeah, it plays. It's a double app, so it's iPad and iPhone. It looks awesome on iPad. There are a few control issues that irritate me a little, but it is kind of a very simple RTS game that has been incorporated with RPG elements. And look, I mean, I just played about 10 levels here before we started work, and yeah, there's a lot in it. It looks fun, and especially considering, again, it's $1.20 at the moment, you guys should go out and give it a try.
Dave. Cool. All right, I've got one game and one kind of time-dependent release. Both are free. One of them, though, is on the fad free, so it may not be free for long. I don't know what its actual cost is when it's not free, but it's actually called Helmet Hero. And the first thing Little Geek, my son, said to me when he saw it, he goes, it looks like Angry Birds. It's got the same style of graphics. Mm. But basically, it's a side-scroller, but you don't control the man at all. He runs at the same constant speed the whole time, but he has different helmets, and you collect different helmets throughout the game. So as you go through the game, you'll get more and more helmets, and each helmet can destroy an obstacle in front of you. So if you have a chainsaw on your head, you can get through the bushes. If you have a jackhammer on your head, you get through the rocks and so forth. And the idea is you just run through the level changing your helmets to meet all the things that come up in front of you. And the first couple of levels, you go, this is really easy, right? Yeah. But then by level 3, level 4, they start mixing up all the things. And so you basically get two fingers on the side of the screen and you're just changing helmets like crazy, because the things will go bush, bush, rock, 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 bush, bush, rock, bush, rock, bush. And you're sitting there going, change, 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 change. And there's apparently lots of different helmets that you can collect. Yeah. It is free at the moment, Helmet Hero. It's for iPhone. The other one, the time-dependent one, is actually an app I found yesterday, which for all our movie lovers out there, I'm going to bring this up on Film Actually as well. It's actually called the Academy Awards. And basically, it is an app for going through the Oscars, which are on Monday. Mm-hmm. And it'll actually give you the Academy database, so you can actually go back and have a look at all the winners from the past, all the news from the awards, photos, videos from the awards, and so forth. Realistically, you're not going to have much use for this, I don't think, outside of Monday, so until next year, but you can have it in standby. But the part that I like about it is there's actually a category that says make your predictions, and there's a whole list where you can make your predictions, and you log in. And you can create a group, and then you and your friends can all compete against each other in your predictions. So just to let you know, Geek actually has a group. So if you do get this, log into, you just create a free account and log in, and then it'll say join a group or create a group. Join a group, go to Geek Actually, put your predictions in, and let's see who's right on Monday. And this app is free. All right, so it's just a little bit of fun because we are approaching Academy Awards season, which, of course, is on Sunday for the Americans, Monday for us. Okay, that's my two apps. And as I say, the Helmet Hero, get it now while it's free, because it will be a charged app once the free period is over. All right, I think that's it. I think we're done. Shit. All right. So let's do a little bit of housekeeping here and say, if you agree, disagree with us, want to, you know, confirm our facts, want to just abuse us, want to say hi, you know, whatever.
Happens sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. Feedback at geekactually.com. If you find an interesting story that you think we should talk about and you don't think we might not have seen it, throw it our way. Feedback at geekactually.com, or voicemail us at 02-8011-3167, or our Skype ID is geekactually. Now, if you want to participate in next week's discussion, you can use that number, 02-8011-3167. It's a voicemail line throughout the week, but on the show, we can open it. Mm. And so we can just use it as a phone number.
I fucking knew that was going to happen.
Or alternatively, if you send a request to Geek Actually during the week, we'll put you on the list, and that way you can call us just Skype to Skype. Okay? Now, so have those details handy. They'll be in the show notes as well. Merchandise. Now, I've just updated a lot of the merchandise. We now have iPhone covers and iPad cases in our merchandise section with our cartoon graphics on them, which are kind of fun. Go have a look at our merchandise, which is at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. Join our fan page, follow us on Twitter or anything else. Just go to geekactually.com. There's a follow us link on the side of the page that will take you to all our various accounts. You can watch us record this show live every Saturday starting around the 12 p.m. mark. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, UTC+11, geekactually.com/live. You can come and join our chat room and have a chat. We've had a very talkative chat room today. It's very good. Now, you also might want to check out a couple of our friends. WeekendRonan.com is the host of the Real Junkies podcast, R-E-E-L Junkies, which you can also find on iTunes just by doing a search. And, of course, Josh.
RawDLC.com. It is a gaming website. Go over there and check it out. We do gaming-related stuff. We also have a show which goes out live at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. That's right. It goes out when WoW is down. So if you are a WoW fan, come watch our show to make up for the fact that you can't play games. At least you'll be able to hear about and talk about games with a whole bunch of other games-minded people. Other than that, don't forget Arbiter is still available on the website. If you are a listener of the show, it's really helpful if we can get as many subscriptions as we can. We're trying to push subscriptions at the moment. Of course, we are just starting now to put together the third issue. So if anybody has any thing that they would like to bring up, a rant or something of that such nature, if you actually download issue 2, it has the email address to send a article to if you want to get published in the opinion section. So yep, that's
fantastic.
It.
All right, now we just had in our chat room, James from Melbourne has said in his house he has a 2-to-1 ratio of robots to humans. That's a scary thought. He also says Dave also has the best bargains. He always hunts down for the free apps. That's because I'm cheap and I'm broke. All right, so I'm always looking for the cheap stuff. All right, and no, I'm not even going to read the one about the purple helmet. All right, so just behave yourself. And he says about DLC last week, he says it was a diet show, no nachos.
It was a diet show. Nachos was overseas, and the week before that, we had no Dave. But yeah, it was interesting. It was nice. It was a return to the original nature of what is DLC, and it was very downplayed, and it was very nostalgic for both me and Dave. We felt really it was a weird feeling when we both got there. It just felt like old school DLC, and it was just nice to do one of those. Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah. All right. This is James from Melbourne. Behave himself. What? I'm confused. The chat room loses me by the end. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Now, we have one last little thing for you. Now, this is actually kind of long. For our audio listeners, you're not going to hear the whole thing. We're going to fade this out on you because, of course, if you're not watching it, you're not getting the full impact. All right, but the link is in our show notes, and I suggest you go watch it. This is a new geek anthem, basically. It's a pop song called Tonight I'm Fracking You. Okay, it has got 600 and something thousand hits on YouTube at the moment, and I have received from about 3 different sources this link. So I thought, well, this has obviously tickled the geeks, so I better put this at the end of the show. So we're going to go out with this as our closing music, and I'm going to play the whole video for our live watchers. If you are an audio listener, you can watch the video by following the link. Now, what makes this special, so to speak, is that it actually stars Caprica, for those who watch Caprica. It stars Alessandra Torresani, who was the young girl from Caprica, who is a babe, wearing the Princess Leia bikini throughout the whole thing and looking sensational. It also has little cameos by The Big Bang Theory's Kunai Nayar, who plays Raj, and Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica. And for those who stick right to the end, it even has Chad Vader, for those who follow the YouTube show Chad Vader. So it is a real geek thing, all right? I can't say that I'm a huge fan of the song itself, but the video I can appreciate because Alessandra is looking particularly yummy. So let's play this as our sign out. We're going to say goodbye now. And for those in our chat room, you enjoy Tonight I'm Fracking You. So bye-bye. We'll see you all next week. Say bye, Josh.
Bye.
And like Kenobi, seeking passage to Alderaan with you, we'll watch some Big Bang Theory as you ride my TARDIS and call me Doctor Who. You're into cosplay. Damn, that's one fine skin job on you. Beat me up high. My Vulcan logic tells me it's time to groove. Across the Federation, my Jedi inclination tells me that I am a suitable mate for you.